ambiguity and distinction, historical, cultural dynamics.
In the summer of 2017, a new law forbade to address the events of 1915 as Armenian genocide in the Turkish parliament. Once more, the Turkish government tried to silence the memory of the Armenian genocide of 1915, which has been a taboo for decades in Turkey. But this project wants to research beyond the widely known reluctance of the Turkish government to acknowledge the genocide of Armenians as it tackles a taboo within the taboo. The Armenian women who were forced to convert to Islam during the genocide or after. Most often, these forced conversions took place in the eastern provinces of the former Ottoman Empire, in an ethnically mixed rural surrounding which was segregated even before 1915. As these women were seen as war booty, the conversion was forced upon them together. With abduction, violence and rape, most of them were given Muslim names, even though the practices of conversion and its consequences in daily life varied from case to case, the women reacted all in the same manner. They remained silent because of fear and shame. Their stories, if ever, were told much later and only in a whisper from mouth to mouth. They are surrounded by the silence, which is usually the predominant reaction to the phenomenon of forced conversion and reveal and helplessness and irritation of the affected societies. They literally lack of appropriate terms for these women who were raised as Armenian and Christian and later lived a heteronomous life of a Kurdish Muslim. Academic terms such as Crypto-Armenians or Kurdo-Armenians show the difficulty to locate them in familiar categories and even indicates a negative image of a failed or hidden false identity. Therefore, these Islamized women are an ambiguous phenomenon par excellence. Their existence irritates national, ethnic, and confessional borders. One of the first fictional texts giving voice to the Islamized woman was a short story by the Armenian-Turkish writer Karin Karakashlı. Garine tells the story of an Islamized Armenian woman from the perspective of her grandchild. In 2004, another autobiographical publication on the same topic followed and made it into the Turkish bestseller list. Fethiye Çetin's memories about her Islamized Armenian grandmother, Anneannem. Both publications are based on personal records and family memories and brought a topic to light, which up to this point hadn't been publicly spoken about, the hidden existence of thousands of Armenians who had survived the genocide. The suggestion that millions of people in Turkey had Armenian ancestors seriously damaged the nationalistic idea of one poor Turkish nation and suddenly made it impossible to maintain a clear division between them and us. Especially Çetin's monography has been widely read and discussed and marked a notable change in the public awareness of the topic, which can be seen as a sign of breaking the taboo after decades of silence. Equally remarking is the growing number of Kurdish literature written in Turkey about female Armenian survivors. Until 2020, around 50 novels and short story books have been published on this matter. For various reasons, these works have hardly been noticed. The ban of Kurdish language from great parts of the social and public life for about 8 years, and hence a low level of professionalization of Kurdish publishing, have made it impossible for these novels to find a larger audience. Nevertheless, do they prove how deeply the genocide and the case of female survivors are rooted in the memory of Kurdish society? This doesn't only have geographic reasons. Armenians and Kurds have been living next to each other in the eastern provinces of Ottoman Empire. Most of the expulsion and massacres took place in these regions, with Kurds being both perpetrators and protectors of Armenians. Most of the girls and women who had been Islamized against their will continued their life later on in a predominant Kurdish society, married to Kurdish men. Therefore, the Kurdish society is deeply impregnated with Armenian culture. Parallel to the official historiography of the Turkish state, a tradition of storytelling coexisted, an oral tradition of the genocide, preserved and passed on from generation to generation in stories about neighbors, friends, and family members. These stories became one of the most important sources for the Kurdish literature of the 21st century. The female Armenian survivors in Kurdish literary texts and the act of conversion itself and its consequences are the main focus of the research project. The contradictory identities of these women are highly ambiguous and offer a rich field for scientific research. The difficulty to describe and define the target expresses itself already in the various problematic tropes used for converted women in the Kurdish written literary texts, like Bafula, Zedega, and Muslimeni. But not only the victims, also the Kurdish perpetrators and protectors are described with different tropes, which illustrates the shifting identities of Kurds. As pointed out before, various expressions and tropes have been used to describe the Christian and Islamized survivors of the genocide. For instance, Bafula, which contains two Kurdish words, Bav means father and Fula is a word with a highly complex significance. The first meaning in the social memory of Kurds is Christian. Because in the area, Christians were mainly Armenian and Assyrian, the second connotation of Fla is Armenian and Assyrian. And another meaning is servant, originally coming from the Arabic word Fala. A third meaning gives a different image about the trope. It means hardworking and skillful person. As we see, the names used to call Islamized women are vague and ambiguous themselves. Next to the Bafula, Zedega is another common trope in Kurdish literature which identifying relations between Kurds and non-Muslims. We can translate it as surplus, and Muslimeni means false Muslim. All of them are derogatory terms for survived people which signify the intolerance of a Sunni majority society towards a religious ambiguity. By looking closer to these tropes used for Islamized Armenian women, bring us to the border of social intolerance, unacceptance, and mistrust in the society. These notions of cultural ambiguity describe the irritation and difficulties it causes to catch the contradictory identities of women survivors. Another example to stress the importance of tropes for the subject is kriv, the expression used for an unofficial social contract between Kurds and non-Muslim minorities, a phenomenon widely mentioned in contemporary Kurdish literature. It is coming from a religious ritual. Kriv is the person holding the Muslim boy during his circumcision, similar to the Christian godparent. After this event, the two families are in a relationship of kriv. In a figurative sense, this system was used in the eastern provinces of the Ottoman Empire as a form of protection, mainly between Kurds and non-Muslim minorities that had a lower position of hierarchy. In the Kurdish novels, non-Muslim characters are often protected by their kriv, or a woman who lost her family lives with her Kurdish kriv and later gets married to their son. The emphasizes on the positive and peaceful dimensions of Kurdish-Armenian relations by referring to the kriv phenomenon is one of the most characteristic points of the examined texts. Sometimes they can be accused of being hidden Christians for opposing the genocide and protecting their Christian kriv. But in some cases, this situation can reverse. The kriv can be the perpetrator as well. My name is Davud Yeşilmen. I am a PhD student and working with Professor Dr. Kader Konuk, Dr. Zeynep Tüvekçioğlu and Dr. Gülbin Kıranoğlu. Our sub-project title is Ambiguity in Turkish Literature. I am writing my dissertation on potentials and limits of literary representation of non-Muslim societies in contemporary Kurdish literature. My research interests are modern Kurdish novels, memoirs, traveling literature and Dengbeş music. Thank you for listening.